Hello, this is the Trimmed Down podcast version of Tracks of My Life with me, Toby Davey. To catch all my guests' music tracks in full, do listen in to the hour-long version on RNIB Connect Radio every Tuesday at 7 p.m, repeated Thursdays at 1 p.m, and Sundays at 8 p.m. Hello, I'm Toby Davey, and you're listening to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio. In Tracks of My Life, we invite a guest to select a few tracks that mean something to them and mark moments in their life. From maybe that first track they ever heard, right through to one track that they would like to pass on that might give hope for the future. My guest this week is visually impaired chef Joe Parsons, who has worked in many professional kitchens over the years. Now running her own catering business, Joe's Kitchen, from her home in South Devon, as well as passing on her cooking skills to other visually impaired people through her Cooking with Confidence classes. Hello, Joe, and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby.
So, Joe, was it a bit of a tricky task selecting your tracks then?
It was, really, because I didn't necessarily pick what's my favourite music. I picked things that triggered memories, really. I mean, there were a couple of ones that are favourites, but some of the others were more to tie in with, you know, different times of you know, of my life, really. I'd have been happier picking 12.
Oh, you're not allowed to have 12. I'm sorry about that.
No, I know.
And for your first track, Joe, we are taken to early life for you growing up in Castle Bromwich in Birmingham. What was early life like for you then?
Well, I was adopted when I was 8 weeks old, and I had fantastic parents, absolutely wonderful mum and dad, and they gave my brother and I everything they possibly could. We had lots of love, lots of time spent with us. We were taught, I think, really good values, and hopefully how to treat other people. But my first memory, Toby, the one that I feel that I remember myself rather than somebody planting that memory in my mind, is guessing. You remember the really old big prams? I know there's a name for them. I can't remember what it's called. Getting my mum cleaning it and getting it all ready because we were going on the Saturday to fetch my little brother, who was also 8 weeks old. We were going to adopt him. And I remember I was three and I wanted to sit in the pram, and my mum lifted me up and sat me in the pram. And then I remember going to fetch Simon, and he was being fostered by a police inspector and his wife. And on the doorstep was a shoebox, and I was told that in that shoebox there was a little present for me, and it was from Simon. I thought that was a great move. And I opened it up, and there was the most beautiful doll with a blue dress and plaits, and I called her Luby Lou. And I remember absolutely being so excited to be having a little baby brother and being able to bring him home. Unfortunately, now my brother lives the other side of the world, lives in Australia, has done for 10 years. But he has always been my rock. He's been my best friend as well as my brother. And I often play this track when I'm cooking in the kitchen. And I always smile to myself and think of my brother.
And what is the track that takes you back to those wonderful moments of meeting your brother Simon for that first time?
Well, there can only be one, Toby. And Simon and I loved, when we were little, Junior Choice with Ed Stewart on a Saturday and Sunday morning. And the track that I've chosen that reminds me of my lovely little brother is My Brother by Terry Scott.
What sort of memories does it bring back to you, this track, when you hear it?
It reminds me of all the little things that Simon got up to over the years. And, you know, he was always a lovely little boy, and he's a lovely man now. But he was very mischievous. and just little parts of it. I mean, one of the lines is, who kept maggots in a tin? Well, I can remember coming down one morning to find that he got his fishing creel in the kitchen with the lid off, letting the maggots breathe. And I remember thinking that was absolutely disgusting. I can also remember one of the lines is, who's been getting at the gin? And I remember Mum and Dad kept all their spirits in sort of a china cabinet with some glasses. And I think, you know, perhaps when he was about 12, he thought, I'll have a little tipple of those. And I think they'd gone out, and he attacked the gin bottle, which I don't think he ever did again once he'd been sick. So there are quite a lot of little lines in that song that remind me of him and yeah, really bring back good memories and make me laugh.
Oh, there's something funny around here. What is it? Oh, it's you. Come here and sit down. You're going to have the truth told about you and put on record. Here, please do not sit too close to me. I've just had my breakfast. Thank you. Who put salt in the sugar?
Terry Scott there, and my brother. And Joe, a track for your little brother Simon there.
Yes. Not so little now.
Your next track, Joe, is one that is dedicated to your mother, who sadly passed away at a very early age of 53 when you were 19 and Simon was only 15.
Yes.
And I think your mum, Joan, sang in the church choir. And I wondered if you could maybe paint a picture of what family life was like for you and Simon with your mum, Joan, and your dad, Jim.
We were loved very, very much. We were taught good values. We were taken to church. Mum and Dad were, Dad was church warden at our local church. Mum sang in the choir. She did the flowers every week with her best friend. We did lots of things as a family. They were always there to support us whenever there was anything going on. Mum and Dad were there. They never missed anything. And they were marvellous parents. And he's hit Simon and I both very hard. You know, when we lost Mum, what I will say is my dad then became a mum and a dad to us. And he was the most wonderful, wonderful father. He was so unjudgmental. He got two teenagers to bring up. And I'm sure, you know, well, I'm not sure. I know we weren't easy. And he was just amazing, Toby. A really, really lovely, lovely man. And a Christian in every sense of the word. And that's really why I chose this hymn. It was really Mum's favourite. It's got happy and sad notes to it, really. Obviously, we had it at Mum's funeral. We also had it at Dad's. Simon and I both chose it as a song for both of our weddings. So it's really an all-round family song that reminds me of both of them. They both loved it. But also, as well, it's about, you know, the faith that we were brought up with. And one of the lines in it is, was blind and now I see. I think, obviously, that reminds me of, you know, my sight loss journey. There were so many I could have chosen, but I thought Amazing Grace by Judy Collins was the one really that is, you know, the Miller family anthem, if, you know, so to speak.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch.
Amazing Grace there by Judy Collins, and a track that is dedicated to your mum, Jo. And also one that is one for you and Simon too. Joe, for your next track, we move to school days for you. What was school life like for you? And were your teachers aware at all of your visual impairment at that time?
Well, really, I loved infant and junior school, and my sight loss journey probably, well, it did start when I was 9 years old. I have Stargardt's. And You won't believe this, Toby, but I talked a lot at school. So I was moved from sitting by my friend to sit by the teacher's desk. And when I was moved away again, I couldn't see the board. And that was the beginning of a very long journey. It took a long time for them to actually diagnose what was wrong with me. I don't necessarily think my eyesight problem troubled me that much when I was at junior school, but it certainly did at senior school. I hated senior school. The only thing that I looked forward to was being with all my friends. I loved that. I loved to laugh. I loved to have a good time. There were certain subjects I liked. I loved domestic science. I loved art. I wasn't really keen on anything else. But a lot of that was mainly because the teachers at the time, you know, there was no help for somebody with a disability. So they just, you know, ignored me really. And so, no, school, I don't have many happy memories of school. My happiest memory of school is sitting with my pals. There were, I think, five of us, maybe six of us. And we used to sit on the steps near the music room every lunchtime with a little transistor radio, listening to all our favourite pop songs. And on a Tuesday lunchtime, we listened to Johnny Walker, waiting for the latest number one to be announced. We were all massive Bay City Roller fans. And at the time, there was a TV programme called Shangalang that was on every Tuesday afternoon at 4:25. My most hated subject was French, and our French mistress soon worked out that if she threatened us with detention on a Tuesday, we would be angels for the rest of the week, because, you know, the last thing we wanted to do was miss Shangalang. We were very lucky in 1975 that five of us, Kath, Lou, Jen, Ali and myself, all managed to get tickets to go to Birmingham Odeon. And it was our first pop concert ever. And it was the Bay City Rollers. So that's the track I've chosen, Toby, to remind me of the happy times at school. And that is the Bay City Rollers, Shangalang.
And it must have been an amazing experience going to see them perform in concert. And I think also, you know, children or kids, as one might say these days, don't really sort of understand that feeling of having to rush to watch either Top of the Pops or listen to the first play out of the Top 40 on a Tuesday. Everything is so immediate nowadays, and I don't think people sort of fully understand that anticipation.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we used to tape they used to play the top, I think it was the top 40, it may have been the top 20, I'm sure it was the top 40, on a Sunday evening. And we used to tape all our favourite songs because, you know, you couldn't just press a button and, you know, ask Alexa to play it. And it was the same with the TV. We couldn't record anything. If we weren't there at 4:25 to watch Shangalang, we would have missed it. So that would have been an absolute sin. I do remember the policeman at the Bay City Roller concert outside singing We Want the Wombles. At the time I was disgusted with, and now when I look back, I think it's quite funny really.
The unmistakable sound there of the Bay City Rollers, and fond memories for school days for you, Joe, and also your first concert as well. And for your next track, Joe, we are sort of taken back a few more years to time at Brownies, and I think then to Guides as well, and also to the Duke of Edinburgh Awards. But I think as a Brownie, you were a sixer, and I think you had the opportunity to boss other Brownies around a bit.
Oh, and didn't I love that? Absolutely. I adored Brownies. I could not wait to join Brownies. I had And I soon had an armful of badges. And the first one was my cook's badge. I can remember going to the lady's house to cook. I think I had to cook a breakfast. And I mean, that's no, you know, I was only about 9 years old when I did that. So that was, I don't think there are now probably many 9 year olds that could actually cook a full English breakfast, but I did. And my mum helped with brownies. So it was something that we could do together. And, you know, many of my friends were in the brownie pack as well. And then I was a sprite. My best friend was a pixie. and then I know we still laugh about that now. And then it came the time to, at the time you used to fly up to guides and you got your wings. And I did like guides for the first couple of years. And then I think we tired of it, you know, became a bit restless. And the five of us, it's always the famous five, Toby, that caused all the trouble, were asked to leave. And we went to join Rangers. And that's really where, you know, we just all flourished because we just loved it. We did lots of mixed activities with the Venture Scouts. Well, that went down very well. We had great camps, you know, we used to do midnight hikes, all sorts of things. And yeah, three of us achieved and finished our Queen's Guide. We obviously started it in Guides, we finished it in Rangers, and then went on to do bronze, silver, and I think there's probably about five of us, not the same five, but I think altogether there were about five of us that got our D of E gold. And I've always been really proud of that because it was no easy task to get the gold award. It showed we had to have a lot of determination. But it also is what I built my friendships on and still have some of those friendships now. There were really strong bonds made in guiding.
What do you think Brownies, Guides and the Duke of Edinburgh Awards have given you to you over your life?
I think they taught me that you have to, if you want something, you have to stick at it. And, you know, you can achieve if you put, you know, a lot of hard work in. And I think it taught me about teamwork. Working together to, you know, to achieve your goals. I think it helped me get jobs because I think it always looked really good on my CV that, you know, I had stuck at that. And you know, there were times when I was on particularly the D of E gold journey that I nearly gave up. We did our expedition along the coast from Swanage to Fleet. We were tracing the steps of a book called Moonfleet.
Oh, yeah.
And which I'd read when I was young, and that was the book we chose to follow. And I know we climbed one hill on the coast path and then got to the top and there was another one in front of us. We got backpacks on, you know, we were carrying our tents. And it was 40 miles over... or 45 miles over 4 days with backpacks on. And it was really hard going. There were a lot of tears. There were a lot of blisters. But I think we were all really proud of ourselves at the end.
What is the track that takes you back to that time around the campfire as a brownie or maybe as a guide or hanging off the side of a mountain for your Duke of Edinburgh Awards?
I looked at lots and thought, I've got to choose something that always makes me smile. And if I hear this this particular track, there was always a gang show. The Scouts always put on a gang show, and as Rangers we would take part in the gang show, and there was a lot of fun, there was a lot of laughter, and as I said, I love to laugh, and this particular track is always the one that we ended the gang show on. Everybody, you know, belting it out, singing at the top of our voices, we're riding along on the crest of a wave. and the sun is in the sky, and somebody at the back would shout like a big red football. I just love the song, Toby, and that just takes me right back to the late 1970s and the happy times I spent with the Rangers and the Ventures.
On the crest of a wave there, and fond memories of Rangers for you, Joe. We now leave the campfire behind us and move to your time at Catering College and all the work that you have done over the years, you know, as a professional chef and a professional cook as well, both in, you know, in your life and now down in Devon as well. What made you want to go to Catering College?
Originally, Toby, I would have liked to have taught domestic science, but because of the situation at school and my eyesight problems, I knew I would never be able to go to university. That wouldn't be possible. And it was actually my careers teacher that suggested that training as a chef would be a good idea. So I chose to do the professional cookery course, and off I went in September 1977, and had the most two amazing years. I was so fortunate to be taught by a wonderful, wonderful man, Bill Cale, and he was such a mentor. He was amazing. He knew I couldn't see brilliantly. He always made sure whatever he was doing, I could see. He unfortunately passed away at the end of 1996. And out of all those students that had gone through his door for all, you know, for all of those years, I was the one that got to do and got to cater for his funeral. And I was honoured to do it. And he was the man that said to me when I left college, if you go for an interview, don't tell them that you've got sight problems. Just say to them, let me come in and cook and do a trade day. And he said, and you'll get the job. No problem at all. You'll get the job. And that's what I did. I followed his guidance and never really looked back, was never out of work. And I've had some fantastic jobs. I started at the Birmingham Post and Evening Mail. And then I went to, had several jobs running directors' dining rooms, and ended up working for County NatWest, County Bank, who were the merchant bankers for NatWest. And they helped me set up my own outside catering business, which was fantastic. And then over the years, did lots of outside catering, went to Harbin Golf Club. I was there for, I think, 6 years. I lived at the golf club and worked there. And, you know, we worked hard, we played hard. And then I gave that up, Toby, because it was 7 days a week and it was really, really hard work. And that's really then I got involved with RNIB when I decided to leave the golf club. And I knew that if I was going to not work for myself, you know, an employer would have to understand what sight loss was about. And RNIB, you know, jumped in, and they were fantastic. They really helped me and they supported me, the employment team. And through them, I cooked on This Morning with Fern Britton and Philip Schofield, and did various other interviews for RNIB. And then eventually I went to work for them and helped them set up the basement conference centre in the building in John Bright Street in Birmingham. And I originally was the head chef. Everybody in the kitchen had a visual impairment, but, you know, we all worked together as a team. I trained them, and I was very proud of that team and their achievements. I ended up as the sort of chef manager for the last 2 years of you know, my working life in Birmingham. If I'm honest, I didn't enjoy that as much because it took me out of the kitchen a little bit, and I prefer to be more hands-on. But my time at Concept was incredibly rewarding to watch someone's journey coming into that kitchen thinking they wouldn't be able to cook and they wouldn't be able to bake a cake or, you know, whatever, and to see how they grew with confidence over a matter of just a few short months was fantastic. And then to watch them be able to go and get a job somewhere else was even better. Catering isn't easy. It can be incredibly stressful because you've got to deliver something on the button. You know, you can't just suddenly say to somebody, "Well, you're going to have to wait half an hour for your lunch." You've got to meet deadlines. So in all my jobs, we've worked hard, but we've played hard. But particularly at Concept, we would often go from work on a really, really sort of busy, busy day when we'd been absolutely rushed off our feet. We would pop next door to the old Victoria and celebrate our success of the day. And there was only one track that every time I hear this track, I think of the Concept team. And I would really like to dedicate this track to them. And also a really special person that was our original manager when we sort of first opened and who sadly passed away a few years ago. I would like to also dedicate this track to Mark Ellerby, and it is Happy Hour by the House Martins.
What a great track there, Happy Hour by the House Martins. And I think we've all spent a few hours in the pubs over the years. Now, Joe, for your next track, I think it is probably dedicated to your husband, Brett. And I think it took you and Brett quite some time to finally get together and get married. Could you sort of maybe tell me a bit about the time that you first met, the time you re-met and finally got married?
Yeah, Brett and I first met in 1980 when I was only 19. It was just 2 weeks after I'd lost mum. And we met in a nightclub in Birmingham. I was out with another pal of mine. And we actually worked at the same place. We were working at a gun company called Parker Hale in Birmingham. He was the assistant sales manager and I was the catering manager. So for about 18 months we sort of dated a bit on and off, and then Brett left and went to London, and we sort of kept in touch, and I went up to London and stayed with him, and then we sort of drifted apart, and he married somebody else and I married somebody else, and the last time I spoke to him was in 1986 on the morning that he was getting married, and we sort of wished each other all the best and, you know, have a good life, and that was it. And then in 2011, I was chatting to somebody at work and we were laughing about various things, and he came back into my mind and I thought, I wonder what happened to him. And when I got home that day, I Googled his name and I sent an email, and lo and behold, I got an email back. And he had split up from his wife, I'd split up from my husband. And then eventually in the February of 2012, we met up again. And it was, I suppose, like we'd never been apart, really. We, after a couple of months, came down to Dartmouth for a holiday and had a lovely holiday here. He'd had family's holidays in Brixham, as had I, so we knew the area very, very well. And we just said, we'll end up here. We're going to retire down to Devon. So in 2015, we sort of talked about it again. And one of my best friends had moved down to Devon. And we'd come and stayed with her a few times. And we just decided then to bite the bullet and do it. And in September 2016, we moved to Frogmore near Kingsbridge in Devon, and we've never looked back. I started my new catering business, which has flourished, gone from strength to strength. And we've got a nice life and we're very, very happy. He is my total rock. He helps me so much with my business. I couldn't do it without him. He's my best friend. And, you know, I knew in 1980 that he was the right one for me. It was just the wrong time. And now, you know, now it is the right time. And, you know, we're very, very happy together.
So, Jo, what is the track that you have dedicated to Brett then?
The track I've dedicated to Brett is by Dolly Parton and Kris Kristofferson, and it's our song, and it's called From Here to the Moon and Back.
Mm-hmm. I could hold out my arms, say I love you.
From Here to the Moon and Back by Dolly Parton and Kris Kristofferson there, and a track for your husband Brett, Jo. And you've obviously talked about, you know, passing on your knowledge of cooking through concept, and also now in Devon with your Cooking with Confidence classes. What do you personally get from passing on your cooking skills to other visually impaired people?
I think I probably take quite a lot for granted that I do things because I was taught a long time ago and it comes naturally. I have a lot of help from Brett, who is incredibly supportive. But to pass on some of those skills and watch people grow with their confidence levels and suddenly think, oh gosh, I can't believe I you know, I can do that. I had a chap come to me when I was in the Midlands, and we were doing Cooking with Confidence classes from our home in Wootton Warren then, and he was sort of in his early 50s and had never made pastry, had been told at school because he couldn't see very well, you know, he'd never be able to cook. And he was really emotional, Toby, that he'd actually been able to do it. He made the most amazing pastry. I mean, the texture and everything was fantastic. And that just completely changed his outlook on, you know, going forward, what he was going to be able to do. The next thing he wanted to do was cook the Christmas dinner. You know, his confidence just grew and grew and grew. I'm working with a young lady at the moment that is just starting her little cookery journey. And she came a couple of weeks ago and spent the afternoon with me. And I know that we will get there. You know, it's little baby steps. It's not bombarding somebody, but just being gentle and supporting them so that they can, you know, achieve what the things that they want to cook. My classes are bespoke. Everybody's cooking journey is different. What the fact that the courses or the workshop is bespoke. Somebody that comes might just want to be able to make an omelette and just do an easy pasta dish, or somebody might come like the gentleman, you know, who wanted to cook the Christmas dinner. So, you know, all those steps are all, you know, they're all very different, but to watch someone's confidence grow is just an amazing thing. And once they've thought, this is going to be really complicated and I'm not going to be able to do it, and once they realise that I've shown them maybe a few shortcuts, and or you can do it like this and you can do it like that, maybe things they haven't thought of, you know, it's like a light bulb moment to them, and I see them thinking, oh yes, that's great, I'm going to take that away with me now, and I'll be able to do that, and that is just so rewarding. I love it, absolutely love it.
Now, Jo, it's that time where we come to your final track, the one that you might like to pass on that might give hope for the future. What is the track and why have you chosen it?
The track I've chosen, Toby, is Bring Me Sunshine by Morecambe and Wise. I feel very, very blessed that there have been so many people that have brought sunshine into my life over the years. My family, my brother, my mum and dad, my sister-in-law, my niece, Katie, my nephew, James and Zach, and all my friends. My best friend, Karen, it's our signature tune. We love the song. And I just think, I hope I've brought some sunshine into their lives too. And I think having a disability, it's very easy to feel sorry for yourself and have your glass half empty. I think if you can have your glass half full and think, you know, you can touch people's lives and bring some sunshine into their lives, then I think that is a good way to look at things. So, yeah, going forward, I would like to say to people, try and bring some sunshine into people's lives.
Well, thank you so much, Jo Parsons, for sharing your tracks of my life with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Toby. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.